ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् So earlier, last week earlier, we saw the first shloka of Maya Panchakam of Shankaracharya. So today we will see the second shloka of Maya Panchakam. So Maya, so as we discussed this previously, so Maya is something which is very, very tough to grasp, very tough to understand, very tough to even cross over. So we have Krishna saying the same thing, Daivi Yesha Gunamai, Mamma Maya Duratyaya, Mameva Ye Prapadyante, Maya Metam Tarantite. So my Maya is very tough to cross over. But like those who gain prapatti, complete surrender to me, they cross over it very easily. So, and Shankara is again, Bhajagovindam Shloka is also very famous. Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani Jatare Shayanam, Eha Samsare Bahudustare, Krapaya Pare, Pahi Murare. So, that is kind of very, very popular today as well. So when we talk about Maya, we should always remember that Maya is agadita gatana patiyasi Maya, as Shankara says, that which creates or makes impossible things possible. So it is like a magic, magician's magic, the magician's magic. When we talk about a magician's magic, there is no scope that the magic can exist. There is no way that the magic will exist. So there is no scope for the magic to even exist. So we know. So many cases like PC Sarkar or others even making Taj Mahal vanish for a couple of seconds or 10 seconds. So we know like it is impossible. It is not possible. It is just not possible. So it is not some, like it is something which is impossible, but still it is made very much possible by the magic. So similarly, Maya makes it appear as if this world that we see is real. So it makes us feel as if the world is kind of very real. So the world that we see appears to be very real. So we know that. So if we were to acknowledge the Jagan Mithyatvam, the illusory nature of the world or the unreal nature of the world, it is very tough to even apprehend. So apprehend intellectually, not even experientially, but intellectually. So intellectually, if we have to understand, we have to appreciate that, okay, yes, this world is an illusion, the world is unreal, this kind of very tough. And many of us also know the various scriptural statements, anityam asukam lokam. So this world is temporary and sorrowful. This world is brahman sarvam brahmamayam. So there are many scriptural statements which say that this world is unreal. This world is just namarupam in brahman. So yata saumya ekena mritpindena sarvam brahmayam vijnatam syat vacharambanam vikaru namadheyam. So even as various objects made of mud, so by knowing mud, like we come to know all the objects made of mud. So mud is the essence. So today science also goes to that particular extent. So when something, like when they have to understand something, so when science, like scientists have to understand tsunamis, they don't go run behind each and every tsunami that occurs, or in each and every ocean or places in oceans where tsunami scope is there. They just take one. So it is also called as sampling, the technique of sampling. So you take one, you understand its essence, and that can be generalized because it is the essence. Vedanta says that this world is like that. So even as various objects made of mud, like pot, gata, kudhya, vikam sarvam vrittika matramevahi, tadvat brahma jagat sarvam iti Vedanta dindima. So even as objects made of mud, which is like pot, wall and other stuff, are mud alone, it has a different name, it has a different shape. So different name and form. So the name and form, namarupam, is different, whereas the objects have the essence. The essence is mud. Essentially they are mud. Similarly, this world is essentially Brahman. So this world is just namarupam in Brahman. But though this is something like which is kind of very very clear, crystal clear, logically it is, there cannot be any more better explanations for this, that everything is one Brahman, even as dream world, like in dream world, the dreamer becomes the entire world. Similarly, this world that we see is Brahman. Brahman has become this world, seemingly become this world, because even in dream world, there is no real dream world. The dreamer never really becomes a dream world. Svakale satyavad bhati. Svabhote svabhode satya sadbhaved. When we experience dream, it appears very real. Similarly, when we are experiencing this waking world, it will appear very real, but it is not real, it is Brahman. So logically, it is very easy. Like, it's very clear, crystal clear. There cannot be anything much clearer. But still, it, like, we are in gaining, even gaining intellectual conviction about it, being convinced that this world is an illusion, is something like which is very, very tough. It's almost like impossible until we practiced Vedanta. We have done Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Dhyasanam for a long period of time. That's because, so why is it that way? That is because Maya is Agadita Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. Maya makes it appear as if things are very real. So impossible things, Maya makes it appear as possible. Unreal things, Maya makes it appear as real. Real things, Maya makes it appear as unreal. So that is also there. The Brahman, which is very real, which pulsates inside us, I exist, is in every object in this world, exists. What do we call as exists? Look, oh, they don't exist. You just now you said they don't exist. Yeah, they don't exist as the name and form. But even in name and form, the pot, when we say pot and pot and wall, when we say that, mud exists in both of those. Mud is there. So mud exists. Similarly, the objects of the world exist. So there is existence in them. The existence of satta, as we can say. The existence in each one of them is one alone. Again, why there cannot be many multiple? So all those like logical analysis we won't go through here. For that, like, we can go through any logical work. But essence of everything, the existence, essence in everything is Brahman. So everything, each of the objects in the world are shouting that I am Brahman, I am Brahman. So even though that is happening, still it is very tough to apprehend. It is very tough to intellectually get convinced that, oh yeah, I have no doubt. Na samshayah. I don't have any doubt. Na samshayam. Na samshayam me asmi. So I don't have, there is no samshayam in me. So to make such a statement, it is very tough. It is almost impossible. Why? Because Maya just doesn't stop with making the impossible possible, or making the real unreal, unreal real. Real Brahman becomes as if not existing, as if not there. The world that we see becomes like very real. So Maya doesn't just stop there. Maya goes to the next level. So that is, Maya creates this notion of I and mine. So this notion of aham and mama. So ahe aham idam mame idam iti naisargikoyam loka vyavahara, as Shankara says in Adhyasa Bhashyam. So I and mine. So Maya makes it appear as if the names and forms that we see in the world are real. So which means we differentiate between objects of the world. So we say A is different from B, B is different from A. So Bama is different from Bush, Bush is different from Clinton. So we differentiate. So when that differentiation, as a result of that differentiation caused out of duality, so when we consider, so first thing Maya does is make it seem as if these differences are real. So when we think these differences are real, which means names and forms. So again, going back, differences, how are the objects of the world different from one another? The difference is in name and form. The difference we should immediately remember, pot and wall. So the difference between pot and wall is the name of pot, the form of pot, name of wall, form of wall. The essence is mud. Even as gold ornaments, a gold chain, a gold ring, a gold necklace, all those are different with respect to a name that we give to them, with respect to the form that they have. But essentially, they are all gold. Similarly, this world also, like names and forms, are what differentiate or create duality in the world. And that is not real. When we consider duality as real, which means we have dual notions, we think one is different from the other, then automatically the next step, when we see two people in front of us, and if we consider them as different, so when we consider them as different, hardly, like even we can quote examples or argue with examples saying that a mother doesn't differentiate between her children. So a mother may have 10 children, she doesn't differentiate between 10 of them. She considers each of every one of them as same. So that is not the case. A mother never can consider that way. So we know very well. So mother may love both of them, but the love has gradations. The only love that doesn't have any gradation is the love for the self. And we can also say love for Ishvara. And some cases, very rare cases, love for one's guru. It is very rare. All those are unheard of, even in Puranas, like unheard of. It is very rare. So a mother does differentiate between her children. She loves both of them. She loves, okay, why are you talking about just mother and why not father? Because like motherly love is considered a bit higher than fatherly love. Fathers use generally intellect, whereas mothers use the heart, or they are kind of more emotional. So that is an analogy, or that is an example oft quoted. So a mother doesn't love both of them, both the children or 10 children in the same way. There will be like some kind of more attachment, more affection towards one than the other. So whenever duality is there, whenever differences are there, when we consider A as different from B, automatically we will get attached to A, we will get averted to B, we'll be indifferent to C. Those are the three kinds of attitude that we can have. So one is liking, second is disliking, and third is indifference. So indifference means like I like my parents and I hate my boss, but I am indifferent to the US president. That is, those are states. But indifferent, an attitude of indifferent cannot last for long. Some or the other day when we interact with such a person, we interact with such an entity, then it will get converted into either like or dislike. So ragadvesham. So like and dislike are what are caused out of duality, or considering duality as real. So this like and dislike, when we have this like and dislike, automatically when we think objects are different, so what would happen is, which means we don't know our own essence. So Vedanta speaks about two perspectives, or we can say in a way two perspectives. So one is Vyashti and the second is Samashti. So individual and total. So individually inside us the essence is Brahman. Totally in the world the essence is Brahman. So if we don't apprehend Brahman as the essence of the entire world, which means we don't apprehend the essence of our own self. Essence of our own, that's a wrong usage. Our own essence of self. The essence like is self. So our own essence we don't apprehend. So when we don't apprehend our own essence, then automatically the notion of I am so and so, I have this body, I have this particular name, I am so and so, I am tall, I am this, I am that, all those gets created. And along with that, since that is internally, externally we differentiate between A and B and C. So therefore we like one, we dislike another. So This aham and mama, mama means what we like. So this and mine, when that gets created, it kind of deludes us. It depending on what happens with me means like me as the body. So depending on what happens with the body, depending on what happens with the external world, like people whom we like, we get in a way tossed around like a football. That is an analogy that is used by Sri Ravi Shankar. So we get tossed around like a football between happiness and sorrow. So when our body is suffering, then we become sad. When our body is like very good, we become happy. When our close friend gets a new job, then we become very happy. When our close friend is sick, we become very sad. So we get tossed between happiness and sorrow. Again, we will come to that. This doesn't mean we should not have any aham and mama. That is not the point here. But when we have this aham and mama, generally, we fail to apprehend the essence. And when that happens, we get tossed between happiness and sorrow. And this doesn't like, this isn't, when we listen, when we hear about it, it might seem to be very simple. Or like, oh, just happiness and sorrow. It is very easy. Very easy to overcome, very easy to control. It's not very easy to control because there are so many vasanas, so many likes and dislikes. If we, this moment, if we close our eyes and try to list down like what all we like and what all we dislike, then like we will have a huge list. And gradations, again, there are also gradations will be there as to how much we like, how much we hate. And if some like something that we hate happens, we become very sad or agitated or angry. So kamat krodho vijayate. So when we like something, when we are attached to something, aversion automatically happens from that itself. When we hate something, then also aversion happens. When we like something, then also aversion happens, because whatever we like is also, anything in the world is changing. Even our body is changing. So that which is constantly changing, that which changes like each and every minute, that cannot, like that is changing. That is changing its mode. So when things change their mode, our expectations from them get go for a toss. I think that's proper usage. So we think that this is how it should happen. This is how it should behave. But it doesn't happen that way. And therefore we enter into agitation, and finally destruction. And this is not just for one or two things. There are many things that we like and dislike. And based on this like and dislike, we tend to do actions. So we perform actions in order to maintain a state where we are able to have what we like and not have what we dislike. Obviously, like we do actions, can they fulfill any real purpose? Definitely no, because objects will change. So till today, the greatest hating or dislike is disliking Mrityu or Yama. Unfortunately, like we don't have scriptural knowledge. If we had scriptural knowledge, then a sadhaka would very happily welcome Yama. Why? Because Yama instructed Nachiketa. So in such beautiful words in Katha Upanishad, one of the best Upanishad, the Upanishad, like there are not much confusions in that Upanishad. The Upanishad is also like very good in that Krishna, many of Krishna's shlokas are direct takes from the Upanishad. So if we remember, like if we have scriptural knowledge, then like we'll be able to, if not scriptural knowledge, that everything is Brahman. But at least some scriptural knowledge, we will be able to welcome Yama, saying that, oh Yama, Yama is coming. I am very happy, oh Yama. My life has been fulfilled, Yama, because you have come. Now I can beg you to give me moksha. And obviously Yama is a proper guru, so he will not let go. He may try to delude us and all, but still he will give knowledge if we are persistent. So that would be the attitude, but that's not the case. So anyway, we fear, hate, dislike, all those go hand in hand. We don't have to differentiate all those terms. externally terms are different, like disliking is different from hating is different from anger, getting anger, but all those like go hand in hand, so it is kind of okay. So death, so like in the past we have had many people try to overcome death. So many people have tried their way to overcome death. So even now that is happening through freezing, like I don't know what's the process, like I am very weak in science, the process of keeping a body in frozen, cloning. So there are many things that are happening today, but nobody in history was able to overcome death. Nobody was able to overcome death, and nobody will be able to overcome death also today, not just today, tomorrow as well. So Yama is one person like who cannot be evaded for long. So that means we cannot change. So we may try as much as we can to get a proper environment where we only have what we like. But the greatest dislike of Yama will definitely come and take away whatever we have. So when that happens, like still we are not content because we face something like experience that which we don't like. So when that happens, we try to like we will take another birth, and then we try to fulfill the desire of holding on to like things and staying away from disliked or hated things. So we try to do that. So this is a constant process. That's why Shankara says punarapi jananam punarapi maranam, again birth, again death, kurvate karma bhogaya karma kartum cha bhunjate. So we do action in order to enjoy means like be happy. And we enjoy objects of the world thinking that they will give happiness in order to do more work. So we work in order to earn money. So like we earn money. After earning money, like we enjoy the money. So we enjoy the money. Why do we enjoy money? Because we have to do more work. So it is a constant struggle to maintain a proper balance. It's like a bank account. So we earn money to put into the bank account so that we can spend. And we spend in order to ensure that the balance remains the same. So it is a constant struggle that happens. It goes up, it goes down. But what happens as a result is like when we try to do more and more actions, these instruments, the instruments that we have now, the body is not essential, is not enough, is not capable. After 100 years, this body becomes so tired and weak that it cannot enjoy anything anymore. So when that happens, we'll have to take another birth. So this chain continues. So it all starts with aham and mama. When aham and mama is there, we do actions in order to maintain this aham and mama, and therefore we take again birth again and again. And even so, the power of maya is not just that it will make us experience this aham and mama. So maya goes to the extent of like creating this illusion of aham and mama, not for normal people but also for people who have learned the shastra. So there are many people who have learned the shastra. Of course, we also know, many of us know what the scriptures say, so we can quote from the scriptures and say, okay, this is what the shastra say, this is how it works, this is the self. The questions can be answered, we can explain concepts, so everything can happen. We can do a lot of things, like we do a lot of things, a lot of those like we do now itself. So we can do, but still, though we may be able to quote a lot of scriptures, scriptural knowledge is there. Overcoming Maya is not just a matter of scriptural knowledge. Scriptural knowledge is just something like is a quality of the intellect. So we know that driving, like driving at high speed or good speed is dangerous. But still, that doesn't stop us from not doing it. So we have knowledge. We have knowledge that fire will burn. But still, that doesn't stop us from putting our hand in fire. So in the same way, though we may have scriptural knowledge that everything is one Brahman, everything is one thing, I should not get attached and all those, still we may get attached very easily. And why do we get attached? Why do, like, if we know fire will burn, why do we put our hand in fire? If we know, like, driving, like a speed driving is kind of risky, still why do we do it? And this is what is called as vasana. we are so addicted by it that we cannot get rid of. It's like a smoking, a smoker. It's like smoking or a smoker. So though the smoker knows that it is injurious to smoke, still he will smoke because he cannot be without smoking. So there are many people like who have, even friends like who have tried quitting smoking, but still they'll start quickly because they cannot. So it's impossible. So that is the power of Maya. The power of Maya is so strong that we have been deluded by this Aham and Mama for many births, that it will require a lot of contrary action in order to get rid of it. The contrary action is constantly trying to do Nididhyasanam. So vasanas or latent tendencies are in the mind or the intellect. We can say antakaranam. Antakaranam has these vasanas. Antakaranam has vasanas. So the antakaranam that has vasanas. So since the antakaranam has vasanas, so the way to get rid of vasanas should also be in the antakaranam. So antakaranam, like a house is dirty. So we go into a house, the house is dirty. So that house is dirty. So what do? Like we just clean our house, which is different from that house. It won't help. If the house in A or in a particular place is dirty, that house has to be cleaned. Similarly, the antakarana, which has this vasana, the dirt of vasana has to be, in order to remove it, we have to go inside antakarana and perform sadhana there. The sadhana is anusandhanam or nididhyasanam, contemplating. So the vasanas, what are vasanas? Vasanas means I am different, this is different, so that means dvaita bhavam. Or dvandva bhavam, as we can say, duality, the objects are different from one another. That is the dirt in the mind. So that has to be removed by the notion, by the contemplation in our mind, or we can also call it bhajanam, in the mind that there is no duality at all. So as strong is the vasana, so much time it may take for us to overcome it. So therefore, since obviously our vasanas, like we may have started in this spiritual path for 1 year or 2 years, is the time like when we would know that this is the truth. We may have started, like many people have, like when they encounter me, they have said, okay, I started like very young, you know, like I used to chant the Vedas. Very young, like I used to recite Bhajan Govinda. Very young, like I used to learn from my father that everything is Brahman. So people have said, like many people have said that. So that, like we think we know quite a lot. We don't know anything. Because we don't know the core, we don't know the essence. Today the essence, the ultimate essence that this entire world is one Brahman. The differences in the world is just Nama Rupa. That is something which is like unheard of even in discourses. Even in discourses, people will speak, okay, if we go for Bhagavatam, this goes, then Bhagavatam, they'll say, oh, Ishvara did that, Ishvara did this, so you should do this, you should do that, you should go to the temple. Yeah, going to the temple is essential, is required, but going to the temple and thinking that Ishvara is there only in the temple, what will happen? Go to the temple, okay, offer some prayer, say that, Om Narayana Ayati Samarpayami, this shloka, that shloka, quote all those in the temple, and once you come out of the temple, get into the car, like another car comes in the front, then shout at the person, curse the person. So that is how our notion of Ishvara is. Ishvara is not Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. Ishvara pervades this entire world. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Ishvara resides in the heart of all beings. Heart of all beings means essence. Ishvara is essence. So we don't understand who Ishvara is, and if we go to temple like that, what will happen? Like it will be of no use. Like learning shastras. So rarely do we find people like where, rarely do we find discourses where this ultimate truth is preached as it is. rather than like getting or deluding us more into other stuff. Oh, pray Ishwara, worship Ishwara, do Sandhya Vandanam. So many people say, do Sandhya Vandanam. What is Sandhya Vandanam? They don't know. Oh, like that person, Sundara Kumar, so said like, yeah, I should do Sandhya Vandanam, therefore I'm doing Sandhya Vandanam daily. Okay, why are you doing Sandhya Vandanam? What is the deity in Sandhya Vandanam? Wait a minute, like next time I'll ask Sundara Kumar. And when you go to ask Sundara Kumar, there is a beautiful abhang singing, Rajesh will easily get distracted. Oh, it's so beautiful, Kapi Ragam. And like Aparna will very easily get distracted. Oh, he sang Krishna Bhajan. And that's it, falling flat. Where will those doubts go? Like, or those questions, where will they go? They will just like go somewhere. Let somebody else ask. And then, okay, Aparna is telling Parul, you are left out. So I'm not like kissing your name. So that is fine. So, like what will happen is like if you prick a little bit more, then like the answer will be, oh, why don't you go and ask? As if like it is my pain to go and ask Sundara Kumar as to please clarify like what is this. So Sandhya Vandanam, people do Sandhya Vandanam because many people say so. Japam Dhyanam. So many of us do Japam Dhyanam. How many of us really know what is the goal to be achieved through that Japam Dhyanam? Devi, Lalita Sahasranamam, Vishnu Sahasranamam, many of us know Vishnu Sahasranamam. We have learned it like in our childhood. Vishnu, Vishnur, Vashatkaru. How many of us know like that in the very first mantra itself, the ultimate truth that everything is Vishnu has been proclaimed. Vishwam. This Vishwam, this world is Brahman, is Vishnu. Who is Vishnu? Vishwam Vishnu. This Vishwam is Vishnu. Why Vishnu? Sarva Vyapi. Vishnu means that is like Vyapana Shilam, Shankara says in his Bhashya. Vishnu means that which pervades this entire world. This entire world is Vishnu. So that truth is forgotten. So when that is not kept in mind, then anything like that we do will only add up. So after many years, like we will become so much into Japam and Dhyanam. So so much attached to Japam and Dhyanam that like if somebody, we meet somebody and say, oh, you don't do, oh, Paramartha, like Paramartha doesn't do Japam and Dhyanam, so he has no gati. Well, that is how it will become. So Japam and Dhyanam, like everything has a purpose. All those are means to the goal that everything is one Brahman. Keeping that in mind. In order to keep that in mind, in order to have that jnanam in mind, jnanam, whether we can call it jnanam, bhakti or karma, it doesn't matter. In order to keep that in mind, we do japam and jnanam, but we get so attached to japam and jnanam, so it is like daily driving to office in the train. So local train, we get so attached to the train that at the end, we say like, I won't get down from the train. Obviously, like we are also like kids, so kids will do. Kids will... Like when I was very young, I refused to get into the bus once. So not getting out of the bus. So it may be a bit different, but still it's fine. Kids will refuse to get out of their parents' car. When their parents drop them to school, they will refuse to get out of the car. So similarly, like we get attached to the means and we forget the end. So the end, that has to be kept in mind. If that is not kept in mind, then it is again dvandva bhavam. So, anything that we do with dvandva bhavam, even shastra padanam, even scriptural learning, if we do with dvandva bhavam, if scriptures don't help us in getting rid of dvaita bhavam, of duality, if not getting rid of duality, at least reducing the effect that duality is making. So, it may not happen that after learning the five shlokas of Maya Panchakam that like we become so strong about scriptures. That's impossible. It's something like which cannot happen. It will take many years. But has it reduced our likes and dislikes at least, or the reduced the strength of our likes and dislikes? So till yesterday I was like so much particular about drinking tea in the morning. So now like I'm not very particular. I have to drink, but I'm not so particular. That is when we can know that some progress is happening. But if that has to happen, we have to remember this ultimate truth that everything is one Ishvara, and we should not have any likes and dislikes. So Maya is very powerful, so powerful that one moment, one momentary lapse, if we forget just one second, if we forget this ultimate truth that everything is one Brahman, then Maya will delude us, even if we are learned in the Shastras. So Shruti Shata Nigamanta Shodakanapi Ahaha Dhanadi Nidarshanena Sadhyaha Kalushayati Chatushpadadya Vinnan Tu Agadita Gatana Patiyasi Maya. This is the second shloka of Maya Panchakam. So Shankara says that this Maya is so powerful that Shruti Shata Nigamanta Shodakanapi. So a person like who critically analyzes hundreds of scriptural texts. So Shruti Shata Nigamanta Shodakan. So Nigamam, like all the Nigamantan. So all the like hundreds of scriptures Shodakan. So a person like who does Shodakam. Shodakam means who critically analyzes. So a person who critically analyzes hundreds of scriptural texts. So even Api. So even for such a person, Dhanadi Nidarshanena Sadhyaha Kalushayati. Sadhyaha Kalushayati. Very soon, immediately, distracts him, deludes him into Dhanena, like Bharya, Dhanam, Putram. So partner, children, parents, friends, money, and all those, like very soon. And does Maya just stop there? Stop making us delude into these likes and dislikes. Once we get deluded by likes and dislikes, then what do? As we discussed earlier, we do karma, we do action, we do enjoy fruits, we do action, we enjoy fruits, we do action, we enjoy fruits. So we become similar to four-legged creatures. So chatushpadadi abhinnan. So Maya makes us equivalent or equal to four-legged creatures, which eat, drink, sleep, mate, that is what will happen. So Maya is so powerful that even a person, like if a person who has learned many scriptural texts, not just learned, but analyzes all those scriptural texts, even such a person gets distracted, deluded very easily, very quickly. So within sadhyaha, Shankara uses like the word immediately. Sadhyaha means now. So now this moment it gets distracted. Why that distraction happens? Because of momentary lapse. Because of forgetting Brahman even for 1 second. So even if we forget Brahman, that Advaita Bhavam goes for one moment. So when we forget, we may think, oh, it is just one moment, it doesn't matter. This is huge, like one moment is enough. So one moment, like we forget that pot and wall are indifferent, are mud. What happens? Depending on the person, depending on our vasanas in the previous births, depending on our mental notions, we will get attached to the pot of the wall. So that is what will happen. So rather than apprehending the underlying mud. So mud, objects of mud, we don't even care. So if it is gold, then it becomes like that example seems more understandable. So when we go to a goldsmith, like we look at like few gold chains that are there. So even the gold chains, different gold chains have different forms. So when we look at those different gold chains and see that like they have different forms, if we forget that they are all gold, then like we will get attached or averted to one of them. So what will happen is like we will think like one to be greater than the other, one to be different than the other, and then we will get deluded very easily. So when that happens, we will say, I want this, I want that, I want this gold, I want that gold, that ornament, I don't want this ornament, I want this ornament, not that ornament. So such notions immediately creep into the mind. When they creep in the mind, then action. So the moment, so when can we really know that we are deluded? Anytime we think like doing actions are very important. Anytime we feel that like we have to do action to sustain something, that is when we can know that we are deluded. So on the other hand, a person who has proper knowledge, he also would do the actions like an ignorant person. So actions are not negated completely. Janaka did a lot of actions. Janaka, Ambariksha, there are many Puranas that speak about people doing action. Balakrishna Nair did action. He is doing action. Paramartha does action. Amma does action. So, jnanis also do action. But the difference is, the jnanis, like, they know this is just an illusion. Then why do they do actions? So it is like a drama. So another analogy that Vedanta gives is a drama. It is just a play. In dream world, like even in dream world, like it is just a play. It is just a drama. We are just portraying our role. Like we have been given a particular role, we have been told to do these actions, we do those actions very well. So the difference is that when we do actions, remembering that everything is one Brahman, then there is no like and dislike. When there is no like and dislike, we are not strongly possessed by the feeling that I need to get this done, I need to get that done. Na praharishi priyam prapya, na udvijay prapya cha priyam. Sirabuddhirasam mudo brahmavit brahmani sthitaha. So when something na prahrushye priyam prapya, when something which we like very well, very much, that we don't get overexcited. When something that we hate happens, like we don't get angry. So whatever happens, so as Amma says, the attitude of devotion, like whatever happens, oh, Ishvara's will. So if something good happens, Ishvara's grace. If something bad happens, Ishvara's will. Obviously, everything is one Ishvara. If everything is one Ishvara, what bad can happen? What is bad? What is good? Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha mohameva cha pandava na dveshti sampravrittani na nivrittani kankshati. So, like whether action or inaction, sleep, the gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter like what action we are doing. If we remember that everything is one Brahman, then we will not get affected by the action in itself or the fruits of the action. So when that happens, we don't have any like and dislike. When that really happens, we will not get deluded by Maya. And this is what Krishna calls as prapatti. And he also says, iha samsare bahudustare kripaya pare pahi mudare. So we have to surrender. So surrender, like many people think surrendering to Ishvara is very simple. So surrendering to Ishvara is not simple at all. Surrendering to Ishvara means like it's not going to Amma and falling at Amma's feet or trying to find out where Krishna is, where Vishnu is, where Shiva is, and trying to surrender at their feet, falling at their feet. No. Surrender is not that. Surrender means like filling our minds with Ishvara. Ishvara Chinta, Ishvara Smarana. Always trying to remember Ishvara. Like whether we are eating, whether we are sleeping, whether we are drinking, whether we are walking. It doesn't matter what we are doing. Keeping Ishvara in our mind. Well, I do keep Ishvara in my mind. Yeah, I do keep Ishvara in my mind. In what way? I always say to Ishvara that, oh Ishvara, my neighbor shouldn't reach office first. I should reach office first. So that is Ishvara Smarana. People think that is Ishvara Smarana. So Ishvara Smarana, tatrapina mahatmya jnana vismriti apavadaha. So Ishvara Smarana means there is no lack of knowledge about who Ishvara is. Who Ishvara is, that is something like which we have to remember there. If our notion about Ishvara is somebody like who has a particular form, who has a particular name, then it is like as good as getting attached to any objects of the world. That will also lead to trouble only. Doesn't Krishna say Saguna Bhakti? Yes, Krishna says Saguna Bhakti. What does Krishna say about Saguna Bhakti? Maya Veshi Manu Emam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Pariyo Petaha Teme Yukta Tama Mataha. So Maya Veshi Manu Manaha, like filling the mind with me. Nitya yukta upasate, who constantly seek me. So not only for like a neighbor, reaching office before our neighbor or our friend, our colleague, but always. And shraddhaya pariyopetaha, considering Ishvara is the ultimate goal of life. So that means there itself, Ishvara, like the notion or knowledge about who Ishvara is already there. So without that we cannot. There is no bhakti at all. Without that there is no bhakti. So bhakti means like that. Whether it is agunam or nirgunam, it doesn't matter. Filling our minds with it. So when filling our minds with it, what does filling the mind means? If your mind is not a room like which can be filled. Filling the mind means always thinking about that. So that means whether we see like whether we see a laptop, whether we see a car, whether we see another person, whether we see an animal, it doesn't matter what we see. Filling the mind with Ishvara, which means seeing Ishvara there. Ishvara smarana, like trying to see that they are all Ishvara. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chayvashvapakeja panditaha samadarshinaha. So wise people, like learned people, how do they see? So vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane. So in like a brahmin who has vidya and vinaya, who has knowledge, humility, which means who is a jnani. Such a brahmin, gavi hastini, gavi in a cow, hastini in a horse, shuni in a dog, shvapake, shvapakam. So shvapakam means like a dog eater. So in a dog eater, in all those, samadarshinaha, like a person who sees oneness in all those, who sees Ishvara in all those. So like that is what is meant by mayaveshya manaha. So fixing the mind on me means like remembering that Ishvara alone exists. So that is bhakti. So Saguna bhakti help me out? Definitely Saguna bhakti will help out. But what is Saguna bhakti? What do you call as Saguna bhakti? Do you know like who that Ishvara is? It may be like Ishvara may have a name and form, but do you see that name and form everywhere? Do you differentiate between that form and any other form? Do you differentiate between like Vishnu and Shiva? So like, I am a Shiva Bhakta, so like if I listen to a Vishnu song, I don't like it. I am a Krishna Bhakta, so if I listen to a Devi song or a Vishnu song, it is okay. And many people say, I see Amma as Krishna, you know. I see Amma as Vishnu. Yeah, very well. Tomorrow like we'll see Amma as something else. What is Amma? What is Krishna? It doesn't matter whether we see Amma as Krishna, whether we see Amma as Vishnu or Shiva. What is really essential is, do we see that everywhere? You see, we may see Amma as our Ishta Devata, but that is not any bhakti. Bhakti means like we have to pervade our mind. So when we pervade our mind with such an Ishvara, which means that we see that Ishvara everywhere. So, Amma always speaks about like the trip to Shabarimala. So the trip to Shabarimala, everybody is considered as Swami. So once a person like is planning to go to Shabarimala, like he'll call everybody Swami. Okay, I've done it like once when for took a vratam for 41 days. So like you call everybody Swami. So it means everybody is one. So that is the attitude like for a bhakta. And if that attitude is there, yetu sarvani karmani. As to how to gain that attitude also, like Krishna doesn't just stop with the theory. So the scriptural texts are so great that they don't stop with just theoretical stuff. They'll tell you how to tread the path, how to implement it as well. So by fixing the mind with me, like what is fixing the mind with me? So yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. So who offers all actions unto me? Actions mean actions and fruits. Ishvara arpitam naichaya kritam. So offering all actions to Ishvara, the action and the fruit, craving for fruit. Matparaha, who always remembers me, who considers me as ultimate goal, ultimate friend, whichever attitude, another with the bhakti we can say. So it doesn't matter like how we see Ishvara, but matparaha, filling our mind with Ishvara, considering Ishvara as the ultimate. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. Ananya bhajanam. So who does ananya bhajanam? So ananya bhajanam means Ishvara is the main, Ishvara is prime. So ananyam, the word meaning of ananyam means without any other thought. So here that is not the meaning. It just means that we have to keep Ishvara in mind. So Ishvara should be there always. Ishvara, Advitiya Ishvara, Ishvara who pervades the entire world, should be there in our mind. That is Ananya Bhajanam. Tesham Aham Samuddharta. For such people, like such people may not have knowledge, but for such people, I will become the savior. And very soon, Achira or Nachira. Very soon I'll take them, like I'll make them cross over this this ocean of samsara. So going back, Vaivihyesha gunamayi mama maya durityaya. This maya is very tough to overcome. Even people who are learned get deluded into likes and dislikes. So only a person who remembers Ishvara at all times, who keeps Ishvara in his mind, irrespective of whatever happens, so yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat juhoshi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whether we like eat, drink, sleep, like all those, like we offer unto Ishvara. Karomi yat yat sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayami. I offer whatever I do unto Ishvara. Yad yad karma, Shivamandala Puja Shlokam, so anyway. So whatever action I am performing, that is offered to Ishvara. So it is very simple to implement. So this doesn't stop us from not doing any action. So we'll still be doing action, so we are not getting running away from the world. But we will remember, like we have to remember that everything is one Brahman. So if that is forgotten, even the action of going to a temple, even japam dhyanam will only increase ragadvesham, like and dislike. And when that happens, we will get deluded by maya. Deluded by maya means dukkham. There will be only sorrow. Sorrow will be the experience for a person who is deluded by maya. So if that should not happen, we should keep Ishvara in our mind. It doesn't matter of what we are doing, where we are going. We may be in a temple, we may be like driving to office, we may be in a meeting. It doesn't stop us from remembering Ishvara. I can't remember Ishvara, I can't. Ramakrishna Paramahansa says, a maid like who is working in a rich person's house, the maid like when she does all the activities in the house, when she takes care of the son of the rich person, at all times like she is remembering her own child at home. So like when we are doing actions, like we can very well remember in our mind. So lovers do remember. So it is very, very, very well possible, like if it is possible, if we love Ishvara, how can we develop love for Ishvara? Very easy. Oh, like I have to go to Vrindavan now to develop love to Ishvara, because then like I will become like a gopi. No, you don't have to. How did gopis get love for Ishvara? Gopis didn't get love for Ishvara because they were in Vrindavan. So many people have that notion. You have to go to Vrindavan, you have to become gopis. There is no becoming gopi, like it is just a mental attitude. Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan akila dehinam antaratma drik vikana sartito vishwaguptaye saka udeyivan sattvatam kule. So the gopis, like their notion about Ishvara was nakalu gopika nandano bhavan. You are not the nanda, like the son of Nanda Gopa, and like you are not the gopa, like who are attracted to the gopis. Then who are you? Akila dehinam antaratma drik. You are the indwelling self of this entire world, all the beings of the world. You are that. So that is the notion. So if that is how like we can develop love. We can develop love to Ishvara by knowing Ishvara's nature as pervading this entire world. Ishvara is reality. So do we want to stay in reality? Do we want to get deluded? Do we want to become happy? Do we want to become sad? Do we want to experience peace of mind? Do we want what is the opposite of peace? I don't know. In peace, unpeace, like I think there is no opposite of peace. So like we want lack of peace, we can use that. So it's just that's the question. Whether we want this mithya jagat, whether we want the Brahma Satyam, Ishvara, Brahman, all those are different terms, like they all mean the same. It's just like one Sachidanandam, Ekam Sad Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. So one truth, like that one truth which is Sachidanandam, which is Advaitam, which is the essence of everything, that is termed variously, like as Brahman, Ishvara and all those. So we have to take the resolution of remembering Ishvara in our mind, keeping Brahman in our mind, Brahman as pervading this world. That happens, that is prapatti. And when we have such a prapatti, Ishvara will help us. Like if we don't have proper knowledge, Ishvara will give us knowledge. And through that knowledge, that remembering Ishvara, like everything is one Brahman itself, will give us bliss. So day by day when we implement this, we'll feel that like the strength of likes and dislikes get reduced. No more of new likes and dislikes get created, and slowly we are able to get peace of mind. We are able to get happiness. And when we implement this completely, then we will, like Brahmavid, Brahmaiva Bhavati, we will verily become Ishvara or Brahman, which means we will ever Nandati, Nandati, Nandativa. So Yogaratova, Bhogaratova, it doesn't matter whether we do Yogam, Bhogam, Sangam, Asangam, Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam, Nandati, Nandati, Nandativa. Whose mind abides in Brahman, like whose mind is remembering that everything is one Brahman, such a person will never get deluded by Maya. Instead, such a person will ever rejoice in bliss. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to experience that blissful state beyond beyond the delusion of Maya by keeping Brahman in our mind in this very birth itself. We'll continue the next day.